worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Father, we worship you. We bless you and praise you. Glorify you. The more we go into that place, the more that we love you. Then we find out that you love us with a love that we can't even explain. And then a turn that causes us to love you more. And it's just a beautiful, vicious cycle, Lord. It's just wonderful. It's just wonderful. We worship you. Then we begin to find out how much that you love and want us to love the brethren. Oh, Father, how precious they are. How precious they are. That we just hold them in such regards that we'd give our life for them. And Father, we give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor and all the thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, we're glad you're all here tonight. And there was another service here earlier today, and Homer did a memorial service for his uncle, and many members of his family were here, and some of you were here, and we appreciate that. It was just a wonderful job. The Holy Spirit anointed him so strong, and I was just real thankful to see the ministry that came forth, and I know it touched lives. There's going to be a harvest out of that. Praise the Lord. So, hallelujah. This is a good night. Let's greet one another. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Believe it, we're still not done with the book of Revelation. What? You guys are going to know it before it's over with. Even past tonight, we may have two or three services, epilogue or postscript, however you may want to call it, on the book of Revelation, warnings from the book of Revelation. It's all been very purposeful, very, very good, and I've really enjoyed it. I'm just kind of sad to see it's almost over. Hallelujah. It's good. Father, we worship you and we glorify you. We thank you so much for the very person of the Holy Ghost, this one God and three persons in this person of the Holy Ghost standing down in us and with us, teaching us and leading and guiding us into all truth. Your word is truth, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Just want to encourage you to pray for Sunday service and pray for the offering that we're going to take at the end. We're going to take two offering Sunday, just the regular church offering, which pays expenses of weekly. And then we've encouraged people to pray about an offering for the camera. I went through and we're ready now. As soon as we get it, there'll be no time for the devil to steal anything. We're going to get in the car, drive down to Best Buy's and buy it, basically. So we need $3,500 approximately, and we don't want nobody under pressure. But if anybody, if you can do anything extra, that's great. And if Sunday's not the best day, and I don't want no pledges, I don't want nobody under pressure, but if you come and said, you know what, I don't get paid this week or whatever, you don't even have to tell me. But if it's in your heart and you couldn't do it this Sunday and you wanted to tell me, just see me afterwards, you know. And but we want to, I know it's God's will for us to begin to have a video ministry to the world. And people are looking forward to it all over the planet, really, and it's amazing. So whatever you can do or whatever the Holy Spirit speaks to you to do on Sunday, so be in prayer about that, please. We've got $800 set aside, but we need another $3,400 to $3,500 more to get. We need a dedicated computer. Has to have a dedicated computer, the camera, the lighting, and the cable. And that's not much to preach the gospel to the world. You know, that's going to really, really be good. It's going to be another dimension for us. And again, it's never pressure, but as the Holy Spirit leads and guides you. Amen. Sunday's going to be a good day. It's Mother's Day. Make plans to honor your mother if she's still alive or around. If not, if you're married, honor the mother of your children. If you don't have any children, honor somebody else's mother. Praise the Lord. There will be no Sunday night service because so people can spend time with family. So let me encourage you. Let me encourage you to stay in prayer. Well, Pastor, don't you do that every service? Yes, but no. Folks, I know that you're here, and we couldn't make it without you. This is not a one-man show. This is not a two-man show. This is not me and Homer. You guys are here because you believe in a supernatural outpouring. And I'm so thankful. I'm proud in a right sense, like a father's proud of their children. I'm just so grateful. I'm really grateful for you people because you stuck it out. So I'm buttering you up to say all this. Pray. Stay in prayer. Do your devotion. Well, Pastor, I pray as I go. Now, you better get out of here with that stuff. We've taught it for years. You better get out of here with that. If Jesus Christ had a prayer closet, you better have one too. You cannot pray as you go and have those downloads that he's wanting to give you. And I'm not, again, I don't want you to be me. I don't want you to try to match. This is what y'all work. But I do know this. I do. See, I'm glad. See, I wasn't just born a preacher. I worked construction till I was 37. And so I know it's hard, but I know it can be done. I know you can come home dead tired, absolutely wanting to pass out, and if you want to enough, you can pray. I'm not getting enough amens. You can have, I don't know what you're doing. I'm not the Holy Ghost, and I'm not trying to take his place. You can have whatever he says to do, but you, for us to go as a corporate body to the place where there's I want some spiritual takeovers in this house. I want some glory to fall here in the days ahead that is so strong, it just cannot. I know what it is to work in the hot sun all day and come home and just, you don't even know your name, you're so tired. But then, whatever he said, if you're a morning person or a night person or a midnight person, but let me tell you this. Let me explain some things. Again, you're making your world. You're not a victim. You are the one that's, you're all of everything that your life is right now, you've created it. That's who you are. So I don't have time. Oh, yeah, well, just stop Facebook. Just quit it. Stop watching so much TV if you don't have time. Get off a social network. Well, you're really bold. No, I'm telling you, you got time. You just don't believe it sometimes. Huh? Preach it, Homer. Preach it, Homer. We got to stay in prayer. You got to do your part. I especially want my worship team. You're no good to me if you don't pray. Man, he's mean. You're no good to me if you don't pray. Hallelujah. This is a praying church. Hallelujah. And while we're at it, Marty's waving a flag. Now, this is just like people that are just absolutely everybody that's here. See, I'm preaching to the choir in a certain sense, but not, I mean, it's like Jesus said, if you bear fruit, I'm going to purge you so you can bear more. And again, I have to go through all this chastening process continually. So I get spanked and then I go and just spank y'all too. So it just, we got 30 minutes of pre-service worship. That is to create an atmosphere. Please. For that 30 minutes, when you come in here, let's make it that 30 minutes of pre-service worship. Okay? No talking. No whatever. Man, I'm not getting any. If you want to come at 6 and socialize for a half hour and then the 30 minutes prior to. Do y'all still love me? But if we're going to have 30 minutes of pre-service worship, let's have the 30 minutes of pre-service worship. And I'm as bad as everybody. Sometimes I'll, you know, what did you see that last night? That was incredible. But if we're going to have 30 minutes of pre-service worship, let's have 30 minutes of pre-service worship. Hallelujah. Glory. Sunday's going to be a very special message. And it won't be to the, we're going to honor the mothers, but it won't be a Mother's Day message unless he changes stuff, unless he changes everything. It will be one of the most significant messages that I've ever preached here. And it will be a message that will dictate the future of the house and the future of people. It's going to be simple. It's not going to be something like, wow. It's going to be simple. It's going to be word-based, but it's going to be very relevant to our future and the future of people seated here tonight and for the days ahead. Well, as you well know, there are now, as of last night, only two candidates in the race for our presidency. The guy that I was hoping would become the candidate is not going to be. As I've told you before, personally, I will vote for somebody to keep somebody else out, and I will encourage you to do that. I'll encourage you as your pastor to do that. But I was just fishing for this prior when I was standing up here, and I want to read it to you again. It's just one short paragraph, but it says, this, the Holy Spirit said this on April the 3rd, stay steady towards the end of this year. You do not know what I know. You do not know the end of all things concerning governments and those that rule. All things are possible through me. I hold that, say, you know, it's not over until it's over. People can still make the right decisions. I need authority in the earth. And know this, that your sights should be set on, or no matter what comes on the earth, nor what comes to your nation, nor what degree of rulership that you must bear under, know this, that I'll provide for you. I will cover you and keep you, those who sit and feast at my table. Prepare yourself for whatever could be coming, saith the Spirit of grace. Set your posture in a place where you can go to the next level of trusting me against fear concerning those who rule over you. Stand in a place of hope, but know this, that your hope is in me, saith the Spirit of grace. Amen. So I'm not dictating, or I'm not predicting, rather, what's going to happen in November, but the Holy Spirit is saying in my heart, and he said in that prophecy, and I didn't come in that night thinking I need to make a year-end or a political prophecy, but the Lord came on me. What does that say? Well, just what it said, just prepare yourself for anything. Be ready for anything. And see, here's the deal. Some generation had to crucify Christ. I wouldn't have wanted to have been that generation. But some generation has got to bring him back. Some generation's got to bring in the Antichrist. Some generation's got to do it. It's got to be that generation. I don't really necessarily like it, that in a certain sense that I'm part of that. I like the aspects of the great glory outpouring. 2 Thessalonians 2, I think it's 20-something, 22 or something like that. It says, that day will not come except there be that a great, or it's not a great, it just says falling away, and that man of perdition be revealed. In other words, Christ coming back is not going to happen until there is a falling away. Now, that falling word, falling away, it's not, that's two words in English, but it's one word, apostasy. Now, the church, the world does not apostatize. The church apostatizes. And you know what? When I was a kid, or even in my early adulthood, or even maybe since I've been here, I always thought that falling away meant they just went back into the world. I just thought they just went back into the bars and lifestyle that they lived before Christ. That's not what it's saying. They went somewhere, but they never left. Did you hear me? They went somewhere, but they never left. Or they left, but never went anywhere, however you want to say it. It was a church that left, but never went anywhere. In other words, you could still see them in the church. You could, in fact, the other side of that is absolutely true. I mean, the paradox of that is true. In fact, it's actually grown in many cases. Those churches grow that teach what we're teaching as a radical grace. But the falling away happened so subtly and so intricately is that nobody left, physically left, but they left the doctrines of Christ. They apostatized from the doctrines of Christ. It wasn't like, you know, at one time, I thought, well, there's be millions and millions of Christians. They just go back into the bars or just go back into a sinner lifestyle. That's not it. They apostatized from the truth. Thank you. They apostatized from the truth. They left. And when I look at it and when I read about it, and when I'm watching it through the Holy Ghost, I said to God the other day, I said, my God, I said, Lord, he saved his best for last. The enemy saved his very best for last. And the Lord came right back and said, yeah, but I saved my best for last too. Hallelujah. And see, I'm thinking, there's just no way to turn this thing. But the Lord said it's through the foolishness of the preaching. It's foolishness of the preaching of the word. It seems like it's foolishness. But you put men up here like myself and Homer and different men that won't go anyplace, and we just keep speaking, and that's another reason why we need cameras. Now, I'm telling you, and we're going to do it all in love, everything we do in love. But the people that are going to hold to it are just going to love it. We're going to receive some persecution in these last days. Once they start seeing us say these things to the world, then we got another level right there, another level. And y'all know we don't say anything out mean or not out of love. We say it all in love. But get ready. This is the last generation. He said, when there's that falling away, I believe with all down to my tippy-tip toes that we are somewhere, I don't know how far we're into it, but we're already into that apostatizing, that falling away. And I said, we say, my God. It is pretty ingenious. You got to, now, me and the devil ain't got nothing in common, but you got to say he was pretty sly to leave the word. Nobody ever, the word's still here, but he just didn't change the interpretation of it. You gotta say that is pretty ingenious. That's pretty ingenious. And but the Lord said, I've saved my best for last too. Glory be to God. And I believe that. Worship you, Jesus. Worship you, Jesus. I praise and magnify you. Just worship him with me for a moment, would you? We just glorify you, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, we worship you. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. Oh, yes, Lord. Father, we just worship you. Lord, I just pray that, Lord, in the days ahead, that you'll help us to speak this gospel, your gospel, not another gospel, with truth and humility and love, with such love that the world may know that we are your disciples. And we give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. That was pretty strong. Hallelujah. Revelation 3. So we're kind of cutting this down to one chapter now. Now unto the angel of the church of Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come as a thief, and thou shalt not know the hour which I will come upon thee. Of course, you guys all know this is, I hope you have a Bible that's in red. These are the words of Jesus. Thou hast a few names in Sardis which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. And then he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And boy, I believe we want to identify with Philadelphia. We've really taught Philadelphia real strong. To the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy and he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, no man shutteth, and shutteth, no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door. No man can shut it, for thou hast little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. That is a scripture worth commenting almost every time that we get to it. I believe. And of course, we went through that whole thing. God doesn't want anybody worshiping another human being. This is the homage, or this is the servitude of people coming that were once in the synagogue of Satan. And there was no synagogue of Satan in Philadelphia, no house of worship for Satan, to my knowledge. But he was saying those that were indoctrinated in other places, contrary to the doctrine of Christ, and said they were Jews, and that we taught that whole thing. He's not talking about a nationality, because really this is a Gentile church, Gentiles and some Jews. But those who say they're Christians, they lie. And we talked about that. They may be lying because they deliberately are lying, or they may be lying because they go to a church who teaches. See, there's men, and people love them. And you know what? I love them too. I'm not mad. Dear Lord, I'm not mad at anybody. But there's some of the men that are on TV that are so-called spirit-filled churches, they will never, ever teach anything confrontational. Never. Never teach anything. They're not going to talk about people going to hell. They're not going to talk about sin. They're not going. And people flock to them, flock to those churches. And they say, well, they got a good positive message. Yeah, but you know what? You can go to those kind of churches. You can go there for 20 years and think you're saved and die and go to hell. Because nothing confrontational will ever be presented before you and put up in your face like, am I really saved? And if I'm really saved, why am I doing what I'm doing? Why am I still in, you know, lasciviousness? Why am I still in these things? And but he said here that in this last day church, there'd be a church. Now, you understand Philadelphia is everywhere but nowhere. It's everywhere but nowhere. In other words, it's no particular place. There's no Philadelphian church any place, but it's everywhere all over the world. It's to those believers who will follow him, keep his patience, walk in the doctrine of Christ. And he said to those who are walking in that doctrine and truth, that he calls those that are of the synagogue of Satan, those who have had once heard, and it's not going to be everybody. It's not going to. Why do you know that? Because he said there's going to be this falling away. There's going to be a tremendous falling away. But then Jude, over in Jude, it said on some will make a difference. In other words, there'll be a caucus, or there'll be a, we'll catch some of them. We'll get some of them. We're going to get all we can. And we're going to get all we can. We're going to get the newbies that are, you know, the newbies are, that's good. You don't have to reprogram them. Newbies are good. But then we're going to get a lot of them that went out, or even if they didn't go out from us, and they're hard, that's real hard, the ones that go out from us. Once they make that switch, it's hard to ever turn them back. Gary Carpenter said something last time, or not last time, but up there at Dayton. It was so true. The reason why the radical grace message works for people real good, and it's really, once you receive it, the battle's over. The battle's over. In other words, there's a more dying to the flesh. You just surrender. And you accept yourself the way you are. And the fight's over. And I'm telling you, it's almost, I'm not going to say it is, because with God everything is possible. It's almost impossible once they ever go ahead and click that switch. Once they pull the trigger and say, okay, Candy and I were driving these two adult ladies, back and forth. They were from Aussieland over in Australia. They just loved what they were hearing. And they said, you know, they were asking me questions, and I wasn't really promoting them leaving where they were at, but they said, we can't. They said, but you know what? We talked to our pastor, because he's into this radical grace. And he said, I struggled for 13 years, wondering back and forth, but then he finally decided, okay, this is the way. Well, they brought up a good point. They said, what was the deal about him struggling? Why was he struggling? Wasn't that the Holy Ghost trying to keep him from going in? Well, once people go ahead and say, no, you know what? He just loves me like, you know, he does. See, everything, every single thing that they teach, it's got an element of truth. It's got an element of truth. But all of those teachings about mortification and death and all that, dying to self, you can throw those out the window. Now, that's pretty good. I mean, once you, that's a pretty good life right there in a certain sense. The battle's over. Accept yourself the way you are. So the synagogue of Satan, we're going to recover some of those. How do you know? Because he said in the last days that the Philadelphian church would have those that would come out of mess, just mess, all kinds of false teaching, and they would worship at their feet. Now, that doesn't mean they would be worshiping, oh, I praise you, Pastor, you're the great. No. For God's sake, he don't have anybody, he won't share his glory with any man. But they'll be worshiping God at the overseeing or the eldership of men and women speaking the truth in love, and in servitude they'll be saying, I'm at your feet. In other words, I'm receiving from you. You're preaching the word. You're preaching the truth. You're preaching the truth of Christ. And so we're excited. We got a small church. That's okay. I don't think we'll always be small, because we're after something. We're not after numbers. We're after Christ. We're after the fullness. So that almost had to be said. I just love thinking they're going to come and not apologize. Apologize? No, I think we'll get few of those that left. We may get some, and I'm hoping we get them all. But we're going to get a lot of newbies, and we're going to get a lot that never were in this and then came out and saw. Because that book by Dr. Brown, there's one guy in there that was in that, and then he came out of that. And he's a testimony of how to come out. But anyway, praise the Lord. Oh, I'm excited. Hallelujah. I can already see the Lord gave me it's a series, a mini-series. Not this Sunday. Will be a separate message. And then the following Sunday, we'll start another mini-series. And it's going to be bayonet training / the ready reference. You know how when, and it's not going to be, it's all going to be in love, but you know how when the Jehovah's Witnesses come to your door, they're already programmed. Or the Mormons, they're already programmed because they got something down. We're going to give you something similar, but not a program. We're going to train you, not for argumental purposes, because here's the deal. Nobody, no person in a debate ever wins. Did you know that? No person in the debate ever wins. They only win in the eyes of the beholder. Because the person that you're debating, he's got something on his mind, and he's just thinking about the next thing he's going to say. And then you're thinking about the next thing you're going to say, and he's thinking about the next. So there's no, I've never seen any debate where there a person said, "My God, you beat me, and now I submit to everything you say." I've never seen one debate like that. Debates are only won in the eyes of the holder. So we're going to teach you all the ready references of how to win in these last days and helping those who are on the margin and may be listening. We can't hardly do anything about it. I'm not saying we can't do anything about, but I just won't even begin to debate anybody that has the radical grace that's a diehard. I won't begin to debate them. Why? Because after an hour, I've studied it. And I got all the scriptures, and I can give them, they can give me one, I can give them one. I can give me one, I can give them one. And then, and after 2 hours, we won't be done nothing. But I can help those marginal people. And we're going to train you that when you come into that effect, you'll have all of the ammunition you need to save those others. Isn't that good? Hallelujah. You'll have the ready reference. Praise God. Now, we hadn't even gotten to Revelation, but we're doing good. Yeah, we did get into a little bit of it. All right. What verse was I in? Thank you, ma'am. Okay. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon the world to try them which dwelleth on the earth. And that's a promise for us, especially based on what we just read about the end of the year. No matter what happens, we're going to be all right. Okay? He's going to provide. He's going to keep us no matter what happens. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast that which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him a name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now, we went over Laodicea last time, but I've got some more things to say. I'm going to cover it and see if I pull out anything new. And unto the angel of the church of Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that you were cold or hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, and sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now, starting in verse 14, we'll read a little bit and do the again some spiritual aspects. But again, let me remind you some things about Laodicea. It was another one of those seven cities. Some of them were more so than others, but it was one of them that you felt very fortunate to live at. You felt very fortunate. It was built on major trade routes. It was the banking center of that region of the in that where modern day Turkey is now. Textiles. It was known all over the world for its textiles. They really did, amazing enough. Throughout this whole teaching, we've commented how relevant Jesus' prophecy was to every single one of these cities. In other words, he took certain things that were pertinent to that city and made it relevant to them by saying what he said to them. Meaning, I know where you're at. I know your existence. I know your house address. I know your zip code. I know your name. I know where you're at. And that speaks volumes to us today. He knows where Immokalee's at. He knows where the family prayer center's at. And he knows that we're doing our best to go into him. Amazing enough, when we read that part, it says that your eyes be anointed with eye salve. One of the commodity that was there was they made, historically is proven, I guess, that they made a particular salve for the eye. I don't know what its components was. And what did he say? let's go there now. They made an eye salve, and people came from all over to buy this. And it was right there in Laodicea. It really had a shopping center or a market that would have been considered. In modern times, it would have been like they had the best malls, the best of everything, the best, car dealerships. It would just been a city of upper echelons and the affluent. And the Christians were as rich there as, the pagans. They were rich. It was a very affluent city. And the Christians could afford shopping in this shopping center or the shopping mall. It was just really big. It was known all over, maybe all over the world, for what Laodicean's marketplace was. And you can buy all kinds of stuff, the best goods, the very best. They were so self-sufficient, this is history, that they were so rich that when the earthquake hit in 17 AD that destroyed 10 cities, Sardis was one of them. We talked about the Sardis earthquake that destroyed it. They were so rich that when Caesar said, I'll come and help you rebuild your city, they said, no thanks, thanks, but no thanks. We've got plenty of money. We can rebuild it ourselves. That's how rich the people of Laodicea was. So when Jesus talks to them and addresses their attitude towards money, the Christian was part of that too. They had fallen into that spirit that was in their city that felt like that they were totally self-sufficient. Amazing enough, now this goes into the part where he says about, I wish that you were hot or cold, otherwise I will spew you out of my mouth. The only thing that it really lacked, right at the crossroads of trade routes, and very rich, the only thing it really lacked was his own water supply. And so they had to take their water supply from springs down the road, miles away, and they piped it in. That's very, I mean, you know, when you read now the first century and you study history on these people, these are not cavemen. These are very, very intelligent people. And they had intelligent ways of, you know, the best for antiquity. They had these clay pipes, and I've seen them, or the actual replica, maybe in the very ones the guy was talking, I was watching a video, and they're just like, you know, it was just tile, and they were round, and they would connect them together, and they could run them for miles, miles and miles. And so, but the problem was the water was cold at the beginning. By the time it went across the Turkish or Asia Minor desert, of course, when it come out at the other end, it was very lukewarm. So it had an application to them. They understood that. Colossae, which was a neighboring city, it got its water from the mountain snow. And if you ever go and Google any of that, Colossae is sitting there, and you can see these huge snow-covered mountains on the background of Colossae. And they got their fresh drinking water, and it was ice cold. It was just beautiful. It was wonderful. It was a neighboring city. Now, Paul ministered in that whole region. In fact, if you read, I think it's in the latter part of, yeah, it's Colossians 4. If you read Colossians 4, then you'll read, he said, let this epistle be read to the Laodiceans. So you know they were their neighbor. And he said of the people of Hierapolis too. So Hierapolis had, this is another thing that is relevant to the hot and cold. And that's why, maybe one of the reasons why he said, I would that you were hot or cold. Hierapolis was right there, and Paul mentions it there in Colossians. And if you Google it, look at it, and watch any of the videos, it has these beautiful hot springs. And for medicinal purposes, people come from all over the world. They're mineral springs. You get in there, and like it's a big jacuzzi, you know, and you get the healing therapy and all that stuff. That was Hierapolis down the road. It was very hot. If you go over to Colossae, you got the springs of, you got the mountain fed water that comes down, very cold. In either aspect, it had its quality. It was wonderful in a certain sense. But Laodicea was right there in a place where they had neither hot nor cold. They were, as he said, I would rather that you be one or the other, or I will spew you out. Interesting aspects. Now, Jesus said this. When we begin to, from the very part of this, from the very start of Laodicean, he says in verse 14, unto the angel of the church of Laodicean write, these things saith the Amen. Now let's just stop right there for just a second. A lot of times you guys will say Amen. I appreciate that. Amen means trustworthy. It means surely. And the way that we use it most often, and it does mean this, actually, in the Greek, so be it. In other words, it's the final pronouncement. That's it. So be it. And Jesus comes to them to start with, and he says, I am the Amen. I'm it. I am the trustworthy one. I am the so be it. I'm the final pronouncement of everything. Hallelujah. My granddad, you know Dylan, my granddad, he's passed now 5-6 years, that old timer. He told a story. I won't tell it. He told it. It was a light joke. But, and I can't tell. I'll change it around a little bit. He, you know, old country guy. And it won't be maybe as cute as what how he would, because he'd put all of it into it. But he'd said there was these two old, or there was these two young boys, country boys, poor boys. And he said it was getting along in the day, and they were hungry. And they were really getting hungry. And they said, one said to the other one, hey, man, let's play a game. Let's play a game. He said, what do you want to do? He said, let's play a game. Okay. He said, well, let's name the favorite foods that we like to eat. He said, we're hungry. And he said, yeah, let's name our favorite foods. He said, okay, who wants to, you start. Okay, you start. He said, okay, fried pork chops, rice and gravy, big old cat head biscuits with a big old slice of butter in there. And about the time he said that other boy just reached over and just walloped him. He said, man, what'd you do that for? He said, because, man, you done went and named everything now. You named everything. You didn't leave me nothing to say. Well, that's what Jesus, Jesus stepped out and said, I am the Amen. After me, there's nothing else. I am the Amen. And the reason why that he said that, he goes on to say this. He said, I am the Amen. Now, this is his introduction to the Laodiceans. The faithful and true witness, the beginning of creation of God. Now, if we were to go to Colossians, it says all things were made by him and for him. Now, folks, I don't understand everything about the Godhead. I'm not going to tell you that I do. There's one God, but he manifests himself in three persons. But one of his persons that came here to earth was the Logos, and we know him as the Son. And out of him, I don't know how he, this one God, or they, being three in one, determine all this. I don't know that we'll get there and never know it. I just have to accept it by faith. He's so far beyond us. But out of this one person we call Jesus, this Logos, it didn't come out of the Holy Ghost, it didn't come out of the Father, but it came specifically all creation, all the planets, all the stars, all matter, my body, everything, the sand that he created the first human being with, the clay, everything come out of the Logos, which was the Word, which is the one we call Jesus. That's amazing. And Jesus, right here to start with, says to the Laodiceans, I am the Amen. And I am the first of the creation. In other words, from me came all creation. It came out of me, all matter. When God the Father said, let there be light. And when there was light, when light came about, that light came out of Jesus. It came out of the Son of God. Now the Holy Spirit came and did his work of the manipulation of those molecules, but it came out of Jesus. Now, why was this important to the Laodicean church? The reason being is, as we go on, he says, that I am the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation. I know thy works. Thou art neither cold nor hot. And that we've explained some of that. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I'll spew thee out of my mouth. Because, now this is why he comes at them from the very beginning and says what he says concerning his very self. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Jesus comes to them and says, look, this is who I am. I'm the Amen. I, as your Lord, as your Savior, I'm also the Creator of all things. I'm the Creator of the universe. And Jesus, here's how he introduces himself. Because at this point in the church, he had been so marginalized, so put out there on the outward realm of no longer being in respect of who he was, see gold and silver and the marketplace, they had gotten so self-sufficient that they said, they were saying, Jesus was repeating their words. They said, we're rich and we don't have need of anything. Well, they had gotten so rich and had no need of anything, they had no longer had need of Jesus. And Jesus steps out in prophecy and says to the church at Laodicea, and let me tell you something, that's an end time church right now. That's a church of 2016 and 17 going forward that it has so increased. You're going to find little churches like us that are just believing God and saying, y'all pray Sunday for, you know, 3,500, and I'm not discounting that. But there is a church out there also that has gotten fat, and it's gotten rich, and they don't say, y'all, let's believe for the 30. They've got millions in the bank, not just the corporate church, but the people that are coming to that. That you can corporalize this, make it a corporate thing, or you can make it an individual thing. See, the church is, I'm the church individually, but we also are the church corporately too. And the thing of it is, Jesus has to come against the way that they have marginalized him and just brought him into a place where they weren't saying this, but this is where their heart was at. We really don't need Jesus. We'll accept him in name, and we'll go to church, but there's churches that are fat. They've got millions. They've paid for all of their facility, and they still got $100 million in the bank. You know what it's easy to do? It's easy to forget God when you prosper. It really is. Gary Carpenter was saying this past time, somebody got up and preached, and he did a masterfully job. Paul, you know, when he said over in Philippians, I have learned how to be abased, and I've learned how to abound. In other words, Paul was just simply saying, I've known what it's like to go through hard times, and I know what it's like. I've had some good times. I've had plenty of money. I've had plenty of money in the bank, and I've had plenty of, you know, I've had the best. That's what Paul was saying. And he says, I've learned in whatever state, whether I'm going through a hard time or a good time, to follow God. That was Paul's testimony. And this person was using that word, and they were saying, they were talking about their past, how they had such a stronghold of fear when they were going through, they didn't have anything, and how that God delivered them out of that stronghold of fear, and their testimony was perfect. And they said, now I've come through that abased time, and now I'm learning how to abound. And they were saying it with real truth. And then, and Gary, I heard Gary when he talked to them, there was no correction. He was just adding his part to them. And then Gary got up and testified later about it. He said, years ago, and we know his testimony, he said, you know, when they were going through a hard time, and he said money was staying away from them in great abundance. And he said, then the Lord, you know, took him aside and started teaching him about how to confess. And then it would start coming in. And he said, he preached a sermon, it's called Back to Zero Again. It's called Back to Zero Again. Because it happened three different times where he'd hang in there and it'd start coming in. You know, it'd start coming in and he'd start paying off everything and it'd just start going up and everything would look, and then it'd go right back down to nothing hardly. And then he'd just, you know, it'd start up again. Money coming in, paying out, increase, going in. And then it'd go right back down. And they said, man, he went to the Lord. He said, Lord, this keeps happening. I increase, and then I go right back down to the almost having to live off just meager. What is going on? The Lord said, you have failed the prosperity test three times. Three times you failed the prosperity test. He said, every time that you started prospering, what happened to your prayer life? And he thought back. He said, mm-hmm. Yeah, when it was hard, I was praying. I was confessing. I didn't want nobody speaking, no doubt around me. I was speaking that word. And every time it started coming in and I started prospering, I had things to do, people to see and places to go. And my prayer life just went back and back, down and down and down. The Lord said, you failed it 3 times in a row. If you want to be able to be prosperous, you're going to have it coming in and not let that prayer life stop at all. Not let that word stop at all. See, it's real easy. I mean to God, I'm going to get up and pray. Because if you don't, they're going to shut the lights out. Or they're going to take the car. That's an easier stand. When you got $200,000 or $300,000 in the bank, you can be like the Laodiceans. I really don't need him. I love him, but I don't have to pray today because my money's not going nowhere. Hallelujah. Yeah, preach it again. Well, let me see. So that's a warning for us for the future. It may become a time where somebody gives this church $1 million. If we stop praying, if we stop preaching, if we stop preaching prayer, if somebody gave us $1 million and we stop preaching prayer, y'all go find somebody else to lead you. Somebody's got to go into revival. Now, you can have it as long as it don't have you. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory. Okay. Jesus said, because they were rich, increased with goods, they had need of nothing. They stopped having the need of Christ. These warnings are carried out also in Deuteronomy, the Old Testament. He talked about when he brought them into the land of Canaan, don't forget. He said, I'm going to prosper you, but don't forget. Jesus said of their attitude these 5 things. This we covered last time, but nevertheless, it's true now. We need to just say it again. He described them as wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. These were the last things that the church thought that they would hear. This is much of what the modern-day church, they financially had need of nothing. What they lacked was the anointing. Therefore, his description of them is totally different from what they saw of themselves. And we went through that whole thing last time. We won't go through it all again. Just real quick synopsis. It'd just be like a beauty pageant. It was a shock to them. As you know, a beauty pageant, Miss America, Miss Universe. I used to watch those things with my sister. I can't watch them now because of the swimsuit part of it. Here's the deal. You're talking about a Miss America stepping up and saying, and all those other girls, you know what? All those other girls that always cried, oh, I'm so thankful. I'm so glad she got it. They weren't crying because they were happy that she got it. They wanted to claw her eyes out. They were mad. They were crying because they were mad. But she stepped up. Now the judges have judged, and I know I'm the prettiest thing on stage. My dress, my perfume, my jewelry, everything outshines everybody. And then the judgment is rendered by the judges. You're ugly. You're ugly. And you stink. Would that be a shock? Jesus had a blatant, scathing rebuke. Because here's a city that's rich. It'd be like a church that had... And again, I always have to, not always, but I often like to preface this. I'm not mad at big churches, okay? And don't y'all ever, please, don't ever get an attitude like small means you're spiritual. Because eventually we want to grow. We don't want to be contradicting where we're going, okay? So we're not mad at anybody, but it'd be like a big church that had 5,000-6,000 people in it, or 10,000 or 20,000. And the elders feeling like this, or the pastor feeling like this, here, Lord, I want to present this to you. I want you to feel very pleased. We got 20,000 people going here. You get all these facilities, and everything's paid for. We've claimed it. We've believed it. It's an offering. Let it be a sweet smelling savor in your nostrils, Lord. I pray that you're blessed by it. We offer it up to you. Lord, we don't owe nobody nothing. We're rich. And Lord, we got 30,000 people proclaiming your gospel. And Lord, all the glory goes to you. And Lord, we just thank you for it. And the Lord answers and says, as far as I'm concerned, you're poor. You're naked. You're miserable. You're blind. The reason being is because the Laodiceans had walked away from the truth. That's much of the church today. They've walked away from the truth so strong that even though they look like they have something to present to God, they have nothing to present. Hallelujah. Have you enjoyed these things? It's taught us. Jesus, in turn, says to them, they basically were saying, we're rich, but Jesus, in turn, says, I don't want your gold. What I want is gold that's tried with fire. And you know what that is? Godly character. I don't see it, and it's my persuasion, but I believe I've got just tons and tons of word for it. It's not like I'm not standing on one or two scriptures, but I don't see how that these men and women can teach a gospel that has no sacrifice in it, has no mortification in it. It's like they have to ignore just volumes of scripture. They just have to ignore volumes of scripture. And this will be part of, but we'll condense it down so you'll have something to have a ready reference, not to argue with people, but to teach you. But Jesus said, give me gold that's tried with fire. The only way you're going to have gold that's tried with fire is you've got to put yourself in the furnace of the Holy Ghost. You've got to put, now there's going to be a lot of people in heaven that just, they didn't go back on the blood. And they got there, and we'll love them, salute them when we see them on the street. In fact, but, you know, heaven's coming down here. We're not going to be up there. It's all going to be down here. But that's not what we're called for. That's not our calling. And I don't want to live a marginal life. And I'm so thankful for you guys. We're closing up. He said that he would give them white raiment. He would clothe their nakedness. And he would anoint their eyes with eye salve. See, and they knew what the eye salve was for them. For us, it's to be able to see clearly. Really to be able to see clearly. Because we don't think we're better than, in the day and hour we start thinking we're better than anybody, we're going down the wrong path. We're not thumbing our nose up or thinking we're somebody, but we're saying, Lord, keep us humble. In a place where we're seeing through the eyes of Christ. He said, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open. Do you understand that he was saying this? Now, we use this as a salvation message. Jesus stands at the door and knocks. And it can be applicable to that. But that's not exactly what this was saying. He was writing to saved people. He was writing to the church. Laodicea, come back. I'm standing at the door and knocking. If any man will let me in, I will come in and sup with him. In other words, he wanted to give them, they thought they were rich. they had gotten gold and silver, and they were able to purchase anything. The church was rich, and they thought they could purchase anything in the marketplace. They had traded, this is what their trade, they had traded the riches of this earth for Jesus Christ. And he says, let me come in. Let me have an intimate affair with you. Lay down your love for money. Lay down your love for riches. Let me come in and sup with you and you with me. Then we can win the world. Hallelujah. We can win the world. Riches are not wrong, but they are deceitful. You got to watch them. Hallelujah. He that overcometh, will he grant to sit with him in his throne room? Well, we're going to overcome in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory be to God. Are you blessed? Me too. Me too. We haven't taken up the Wednesday night offering. We're going to pray. Close. Sunday's Mama's Day. Mother's Day. Homer just hit Rosie. Just the thought of Mother's Day. Sucker punched her. But she punched him back. I saw that. I think I did. Would you prepare if you're giving something tonight? And would you guys please pray for the intercessors? That's all of us. That we all stay in prayer. Hallelujah. That we all stay in prayer. Thank you, Reuben. We all keep going forward because we need each other more than ever before. More than ever before. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for this blessing, for this offering. We ask you to bless everybody that came tonight. And Father, we thank you for these words in the book of Revelation and for what we'll receive Sunday. And Lord, I love you and I love all these people and I pray your blessings on them in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. If you have something tonight, just bring it forward at the close of the service. We appreciate it. Thank you very much.